B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to the left of Tagovailoa. He takes the snap. He drops back. Pocket squeezing down. Tagovailoa starts to escape. He runs past the 45 across midfield. He's got a first down. Tagovailoa, for the second time, able to escape and run.
I think Joan hit Barmore. Instead of hitting two, he hit Barmore.
And now the Pats have to spend the timeout with 1:48 to go.
Those are the reasons you see him inactive, usually, week to week. I mean, there's your chance. You know he's running. Come up and make the stop. He goes right by you.
Jones takes the snap. Quick throw out to the right for Jacoby Myers. He starts to run to the middle. Myers is going to weave to the left to the five. Tosses it high in the air. It's going to be picked off and run into the end zone. Aguaba with a touchdown for the Dolphins. And that's how the regular season comes to an end. They had won seven straight. And they were in position atop the AFC standings. But they wind up losing three of the last four.
And that, of course, is where we begin today on a re-entry Monday here on Felger and Maz. Thanks for joining us. However you are choosing to consume us, whether that's on 98.5 on the FM dial here in Boston or the simulcast, where we beam across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston, obviously on the web as well, 98.5thesportshub.com or the app, so we can catch us on all the replays. Obviously, DraftKings is your presenting sponsor on all of the above. Maz and Murray from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. I come to you remotely. Maz, how you doing, pal?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. Big Jim, hi.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Okay, let's begin the discussion, shall we, Maz? Where do we start?
Okay, how many times can you say it? I mean, it's the same thing. It's the same act, the same song, over and over and over again. They show up to play a game that has some importance against an opponent that is functional. Again, Jacksonville doesn't qualify as functional. So you show up against those other teams, and this is exactly what happened in the Indianapolis game and in the Buffalo game at home. You fall behind early, you make stupid mistakes, you can't dig your way out of it because you're not potent enough, and your defense gets run over again. So now, look, I believe that anything can change at any given time. We've seen this team play well, but after the last month and the way they finished, how is it possible to have confidence in them right now? Because it's the same thing over and over again. And to me, one of the most alarming things might be the fact that they get run over. And that, to me, is that is the most disturbing part of the whole thing, because it's the part I didn't expect.
It followed the script of these other bad losses since the bye week over the last month. Slow start, down big early. They handle it poorly. Can't dig themselves out of the hole they put themselves in. Dumb penalties and mistakes, especially on special teams, which is really mind-blowing given how important it is to Bill Belichick. Defense can't make a big stop when they need it, like Maz just said. And the quarterback, also, don't want to pile on. No, he's a rookie, but he's not good enough when you need him to be. And his body language, when it's not going good for him, blows.
Okay, so the body language has come up in the last 24 hours after that game. One of the things we'll explore. To me, when you just sort of spin it going forward, and I think we all sort of give the Patriots a puncher's chance in Buffalo on Saturday, but at least from my perspective, that puncher's chance has nothing to do with the Patriots. In other words, I think the Pats can win on Saturday because I think the Bills can screw it up. I don't sit there and say the Pats have a chance on Saturday because of really anything that on their end, Maz, that they do particularly well. I mean, I don't think they can go in there and win because of their quarterback play. I don't think they can go in there and win because of their defense. I don't think they can go in there and win because of their run defense. I don't think they can go in there because of their passing game. I sure as hell don't think they can go in there and win because of their special teams. And the coaching, the way it's gone the last month, is still the check mark, obviously, but less and less confidence that I have that they're going to win because of it. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, well, you tell me, what facet of the Patriots right now do you feel good about?
None. I would say maybe their pass defense if everybody's healthy. Maybe. Okay, I'll give you that one. Maybe. But again, I want everybody on the field. I want Duggar out there. I want Judon playing like he played earlier in the year. Like, if everything goes well, I think their pass defense is pretty good. It's not great, but it's pretty good, and certainly it's not as great as it seemed in the middle of the year after the Dallas game. But I always have problems like this, and I've said this to you a million times, Mike, over the long number of years here that we've been together. In Boston in the last 20 years, we know what a winner looks like. We've seen enough of them now. We know what it looks like, and we know what it feels like. And there's a difference between going into a game and saying, oh, no, this team will find a way. They'll find a way to win. And doing what you just said, which is relying on the other guy to screw it up. And even in the years where Brady was not, and I shouldn't say Brady wasn't at his peak, but the Patriots weren't at their peak in the middle there, when they were rebuilding the defense and, you know, just before the drafting of Garoppolo, they always had the coach and the quarterback that we could say, well, those guys are winners. In tandem, they are winners. And with Brady, you can't rule it out because he can pull it out. They don't have that now. So they're relying on the other team to be complicit. And if the other team is not complicit, I'm not sure how many good teams they can beat outright.
Yeah, and to your point about this puncher's chance they could have on Saturday and the other team being complicit, what was the real reason they were able to make that a competitive game in the second half yesterday? The ineptitude of the Dolphins' offense and Tua. That's why that happened. That's why that was a competitive game.
Well, I mean, familiar script. The Pats made all these recent losses competitive, but the score gets out of hand, and the opponent lets up, and you climb back in, but you don't have enough on either side of the ball. Either side. This is another game where your defense had a chance late to hand the ball to Mac Jones for a final drive and couldn't do it. Like, that has been a common theme over and over and over again. And so it's both sides that can't play from behind. Maz mentioned the run defense. That's another thing. The reason they can't play from behind. When the opponent gets ahead, they hand the ball off and you can't stop them.
Correct.
So it's like, you know, people always think it's like, well, you can't play from behind because of Mac Jones. Well, I think that also puts your defense in a bad spot because, as you just said, Maz, their pass defense might be ahead of the run defense right now. But the opponent gets up, they hand the ball off, go.
Well, right, so it plays into it. It absolutely, it puts the opponent in a position where they can exploit your weakness because now they can run the ball all day. And I looked this up, and I was startled when I actually looked at the numbers. Because, again, Tua only passed for, I think it was 109 yards in the game. Okay, after the first drive, do you know how many passing yards Miami had in that game?
It was like 40.
55.
Yeah.
55. They had 16 yards passing in the second half. But it didn't matter because they were so far ahead and they could run the clock out and they could kick a field goal here and there. And I'm not saying that they scored a touchdown, obviously, in the first drive of the second half. But the point being is once they're up in front, now they can play the game on their terms at however they want to exploit your weaknesses, and you're going uphill the whole time. The other thing that happened in that game yesterday is you look at the final score and you say, well, garbage touchdown at the end of the game. The Patriots ran four plays in the whole game where they were within one score. Four plays. Okay? The first three, the third of which was the pick six, that made it 14-0. And then the last play of the game. That's it. In the entire rest of the game, they were never within one score. It was never really all that close. They never put any sort of pressure on Miami, which comes back to the first thing, Mike. Miami could just keep handing the ball off because they were up two scores all day. So you never put any sort of pressure on the opposition. It's a hard way to win. It's an impossible way to win.
We'll take your thoughts all day long at 617-779-0985. They're filling up now. What was the worst part of yesterday, Maz?
Ooh.
Can I answer?
Yeah, go.
Okay, to me, the clown show. The clown show penalty on the punt. Okay.
Lawrence guy lining up incorrectly.
I mean. Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, so like, and I'm going to give you two or three of these. The clown show special teams penalty that gave them 3 points that turned out to be the margin of victory, really, and I'm not including the final, you know, garbage touchdown. That final 3 points that you gave them on the penalty on the punt turned out to be the difference in the game. Okay. That the sequence in the second quarter where Mac Jones flips out and throws a little tantrum because they can't get the play in time, and he has to call a timeout on a third down in the second quarter, only to come back and run a play in which two receivers run into each other and the ball sails out of bounds. Okay? And then I would put on the list that fourth and inches that they don't go for at midfield. Instead, try and draw them off sides. You end up jumping. You have to punt away. Clear chance to go for points there at the end of the second quarter. Layup situation. These sort of things that make them look like a dysfunctional football team, Maz. That's where I start. Not necessarily the physical problems of Mac Jones or your problems on defense recently. I'm talking about the whole package and the whole operation where once again, you look like a dysfunctional team. That, to me, is the worst part of yesterday.
Did you mention the fumbled snap, too? Did that
sure.
One?
Yeah. Sure. So I'm not sure if that's a physical mistake or a mental mistake. Garden variety. Put it on the list.
Oh, my gosh. So that's totally fair. And, Murray, again, when you list them, you're like, oh, my gosh, that's right. All those things happen in that game.
Yeah, but these are things that make them like any other average team throughout the NFL. And these are things you never had to worry about in the past with a Bill Belichick coach team. That
Absolutely.
Have happened multiple times this year.
So, to me, the special team stuff is unbelievable. And this special teams coach looked like he wanted to die on the sidelines. I mean, I can see why. What a year for that guy. And for all the talk that we've had about Bill Belichick stepping in on defense and taking over the defense at certain points in this season, is he ever going to do that with the kicking game? Because they can't even line up properly. It's every week there's some sort of clown show, bad football team, kind of special teams gaffe. And these are the Patriots. It's going to go on every single week. The guy lines up, Lawrence guy, lines up over the center in the kicking game. Like I thought, this rule's been on the books for years. I was informed last night it's been on the books for 9 years. 9 years. You can't line up over the long snapper. Everybody knows this. So he lines up over the long snapper. So that's mistake one. Number two, no one says anything. No one behind him in the formation. No one on the side. No one anywhere says, we can't do this. 9 years ago, they stopped allowing us to do this. And you give him a first down that leads to the 3 points that ends your day. That, to me, that kind of stuff was the worst. All right, where do you want to begin, folks? We'll open it up to you and your calls. Felger, Maz, off and running. Back to you right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What you need.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Third down and one from the 34. Patriots spread it out with an empty formation. Jones looks right. He fires the pass. Intercepted. Running it back left side with a cut pass to 15-10. Into the end zone, Xavier Howard.
Nope.
Pick six for the Dolphins.
No, it's not there. The ball's thrown outside. It should have been in to the inside of Jacoby Myers. He's the inside slot guy to the right. It's zone. The outside corner sits. Jones takes him right into the corner. They suck up, get it. These are two good corners. Good luck throwing the ball out the flat where these guys can ball hawk it. These guys know how to play the ball. Before going to the phones, Jim Murray, how did you like Mac Jones' tackle attempt on that and the way he carried himself all day long?
Horrid. And, you get blood to death when you point out this kind of thing, starting with that loss against Indianapolis, the bad body language, and when things aren't going his way. I think their way as a whole. Like, I think that they all kind of carry themselves a little bit poorly when, they're not getting out to an early lead and they have control of the game. But when they are, you see them dancing around and high-fiving and having quite the time like they did against Jacksonville. But that particular play, Mike, that pick six, which he telegraphed all the way, and Xavier Howard, Pro Bowl cornerback for a reason, but I thought Mac Jones basically stared at him before he threw the effing thing. But that half-assed ole attempt and then the head down, like, oh, shucks, look, you can't do that. I think that sends such a poor message. Not just to your teammates, but it also shows the opposition, this kid can be had. Just make him a little bit uncomfortable. Things are going to go sideways for him.
What do you think? What do you think, Mass?
Oh, now listen, I felt the same way upon watching the replay. He gave up. Now, look, again, we had this discussion earlier in the year, you remember. Do you want your quarterback always sticking the nose in there? I don't know that Jones is going to be able to stop him anyway. But it wasn't the kind of, you know, you could always dive at a guy's legs, make him hurdle you. Who knows? Maybe he hits the turf and you end up saving 4 points and they kick a field goal. But it felt to me like he just kind of, as Murray said, olayed it. And that was that.
So get out of the way. I'm telling you, the tackle thing didn't, the olay thing didn't bother me as much as the... the huffy, like, you just told your teen daughter she can't use the car, like, that thing, dude, you can't do that as a professional football player. You just can't.
I mean, he has not been good now. The last 5 games, he's 2-3, 6 touchdowns, 5 picks. The rating's in the 70s, rather, and the completion percentage is 60%. This is 5 games. That includes the game at Buffalo that they won when he threw 3 passes. He really, outside of the Jacksonville game, he's not played well in the final, you know, month plus.
Well, that's my bigger issue. But add it to the list, your calls. Jim and Bill Ricka lead us off. How are you doing, Jim?
Hi, first time, long time, first time. I basically just wanted to say they performed pretty much like I figured they would. I think their 6-game winning streak was a joke. People made too much out of it. I think three or four of the teams were totally decimated when they came in here, including the Buffalo game where the weather saved them.
Jim, you know, I'll just stop you. For those of you who are calling this a fraud team and a fraud run, I think you've been proven right. I think you've been proven right. Look at the teams they've beaten. Look at the teams they've lost to. Look at how they've played in the money games down the stretch. And the evidence is on your side. That's just the scoreboard. I thought they were for real. I was buying in. I was wrong. I'm the stooge. But I thought it was legit. Turns out it wasn't. Those of you who felt it was a fraudulent run, you're right. I mean, what do you want? Now, I mean, we're really going to find out going forward. It's not over. If they string together some playoff wins, then they're validated and justified. And we turn back around and say the 7-game winning streak was for real. But as we like to say, we have a daily talk show to do. And today, in this moment in time, they're a bunch of frauds. That's just what it is.
Yeah, totally. I mean, to me, it's less about the actual wins and losses than it is how they look. Like, in some of these losses, they look inept. They look utterly inept.
The dysfunction to me is what just blows me away. You can't line up on a punt. Mike in Danvers. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Felger, how are you? Listen, I think there's something rotten internally with this team. You know, after the bye, if you remember, Bill sent Matthew Slater out there. Matthew Slater pretty much said there's some stuff in the room that's not good. So I think there's something internal within
okay,
the team.
I'm going to stop you because I don't know what you're talking about with Slater. You're talking about Slater coming out yesterday. You're telling me after the bye, he sent Slater out to tell the media there's something wrong in the locker room. I don't think you're exactly right on that. But let me tell you what you are right about, is that coming out of the bye, they threw up a real stink bomb in Indianapolis, after which Mac Jones said we were feeling sorry for ourselves, implying that there was something internal during that bye or coming off of that bye, that the players were not in the right spot. And since then, they lost 3 out of 4. So something happened coming out of that bye, Maz, that they weren't able to shake off or that stuck with them or started them, you know, on a downwards trajectory, and they couldn't pull themselves out of it. So there's something in there, and whatever it is, it shows a tremendous lack of mental toughness as far as I'm concerned.
I was just about to say, mentally, they're soft. They're soft. It's the classic definition of a team that needs everything to go right to win. And part of it is talent, because, again, offensively, they are limited. But part of it is also a lack of mental toughness where they get behind and it's over. Forget it.
Ron in the car, you're up next to Felger and Maz. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how you doing? I'm a WEI convert. Love your show now. But I got to be serious. So I know contrarian is in and sexy and all that shit.
Yeah.
Okay, later. Ron. You know, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You can't say that here. Brendan in the car. Go ahead, Brendan.
Can't say that anywhere.
I don't think,
hey,
but
I just want to say our interior defense makes me absolutely sick. Lawrence Guy is a big bimbo. Carl Davis is a big bimbo. We have these.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. I don't get the bimbo stuff, but what is up with the run defense, Maz?
Look, you got me. I just think that now, look, Hightower wasn't there yesterday. He's typically a guy that you would say is critical to the run defense. But I'll even tell you that when he's been out there, the Jonathan Taylor run, he misplayed that one. There have been other plays during the course of the year where the dam has broken. And let's not make out anybody in that Miami backfield or on that Miami offensive line to be, you know, the hogs of the Redskins days and Gale Sayers back there. So I just think that they get pushed. And as much as I've been impressed with Barmore this year, I've come to the conclusion that Barmore at this stage is a passing game player.
Yeah, you can seal him in the run game.
He can push the pocket going upfield after the quarterback, and he's good at it. He's a strong kid. But if you ask him to be stout in the run game, he gets turned a lot. So to me, I think he's, I don't want to call him a liability, but I don't think he's a factor in the run game. I think their defensive line in particular is getting its ass kicked.
Adam and Lowell. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. I think this team is a solid two good drafts away from competing. I mean good drafts, not the crap that Bill's been throwing against the wall since 2012. And I know everybody's going to say, well, but this year, he drafted this year. No, I think he got in a directive saying, hey, stop effing around. Stop drafting Navy long snappers in the fourth round and actually draft talent. And honestly, I don't believe Bill would be able to draft talent for this team. I don't think he is, because at the end of the day, he's going to listen to his college scout buddies who are dummies and can't make it to the NFL, but he'll take their word over his own scouts.
So Adam, I don't think today's the day to talk about the roster. The roster is incomplete. Yes. Was yesterday a roster issue?
No.
Is lining up over the long snapper on a punt a roster issue? Okay. Is, again, not getting a play in on time and then coming out and having two receivers run into each other like the Keystone Cops, is that a roster issue? Maybe some of the run defense stuff is a roster issue, but what's at hand right here is, how did they look coming out of the bye? How have they looked in these big games coming down the stretch? Have they been a organized, dialed in, you know, well-run football team that's been ready to go in these big games? No. The answer is no. Okay? If they were those things, and they were just, you know, they didn't have the speed to keep up with an opponent, and you were losing close games because you just didn't have the horses, then we can talk about the roster. In a lot of these games, the second Buffalo game's different. The second Buffalo game, I just think they came in here and beat you because they are better, and they put together a good game. But a lot of the stuff yesterday, so wait a minute, the roster is the reason you can't execute a center quarterback exchange? Is that the roster? Or is that a team playing with its head up his ass?
No, B.
Okay, thank you. Or a team that has fourth and inches at midfield and the coach gags on it, is too afraid to go for it, and they end up jumping off sides. Is that a roster issue, or is that a head-up-your-ass issue?
B.
Thank you. Ryan and Malden. Go ahead, Ryan. What do you got?
Oh, absolutely, D. I mean, why in the world you got fourth and one on midfield? I mean, what do you got to lose? The game? I mean, really, I don't understand why they did not go for it. I mean, it really is asinine this time. It really is. It's freaking ridiculous.
Chicken bleep. Absolute chicken bleep.
Oh, and it was such a critical point of the game. Again, you score there, you get the ball first, now you're within one score. Now you maybe get down and tie the game. I mean, it was just such a critical point, and Bill just tucked it away and ran backwards.
Oh, my God, what are you afraid of? Meanwhile, major breaking news across the NFL this afternoon. Big Jim Murray has all of it right here for you, and then we're back. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Waiting on the snap. Patriots looking for an early movement call. Left-footed punt. Headed toward Gunnar Olszewski. Drifts to his right. Backs up inside the 20 with the fair catch. He handles it with the Dolphin.
They moved on the right side.
Trill Williams. There is a flag.
They can re-kick it.
I think you have to re-kick it.
Illegal formation. Defense number 93. A 5-yard penalty.
You piece of work.
This is the end of the third quarter.
You're special.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Forget about a re-kick. Timeout. Another penalty on the Patriots.
So that was the call of that play yesterday. Was Zoe getting on the ref?
Initially, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, by that point, I get it. There was a bad targeting call on Bolden and a real sketchy these may be out of sequence, but there was a bad PI call on Mills in the end zone, and there was the targeting call on Brandon Bolden on the fake punt. So maybe it was just adding up, but the ref did nothing wrong there. You can't line up over the center in the kicking game anymore. You haven't since 2013.
And he knew it because right before the snap, he tried to move out of it. So, like, he just brain-locked. He completely oblivious.
What took him so long? What took him so long to realize you can't do it? What took his fellow defensive lineman so long to move his big butt out of the way? What prevented a coach from calling a timeout or screaming onto the field? I mean, he was lined up there for a good bit before he finally realized and started to move, but by then it was too late. Like, that to me, Maz, is where I start. I mean, you understand, it was just 2 weeks before, or I guess 3 games before, in Indianapolis, you jumped offsides on a missed field goal,
mm-hmm.
giving them another field goal attempt, which they made. I mean, this is not a random occurrence. You've had three punts blocked. You've had, you know, who knows how much other stuff happened on special teams, but especially the pre-snap stuff. You jump off sides on the field goal to give them 3 points. You line up over the center on a punt to give them a first down and another 3 points. I mean, who does that?
Well, this is what's so mind-blowing about it, Mike. The one thing you never had to worry about with the Patriots over the last two decades is attention to detail. And now, this year, with boneheaded mistakes like this, they've all of a sudden become just another dumb team making costly penalties. On special teams, no less.
I mean, that one is just... That is... And so, I ask this again. You know, we brought this up. It's Cameron Accord.
Cam Accord, yeah.
And I'm just, you know, getting the wiki page up here, if you can believe it. Cam Accord, the Patriots special teams coach, has a wiki page. I don't necessarily blame Cameron Accord, and I'll tell you why. Cameron Accord is what he is. He's obviously not ready for the job, or he's having a horrible year, or he's having a horrible run. It isn't working with Cameron Accord this year. How come Bill hasn't stepped in on that side of the ball?
Great point.
Or diverted some resources to it. It's not happening with Cam Accord. And I think Cam Accord, to me, I don't mean to vilify the guy because he is what he is. I mean, he's probably a good, hardworking, young football guy. And I don't mean to dump on the guy. But how did he get in this position in the first place? And this is something I think about is like, you know, is still institutional with the Patriots and how they cheap out on their coaching staff. He's a 34-year-old guy. I mean, I want to say kid, but he's a 34-year-old kid in the coaching world. He's a 34-year-old kid who before this coached at a community college in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was a Southwest Mississippi Community College assistant coach. Okay, where he then gets a sniff here as he then comes on here in 2018, so 3-4 years ago, as an assistant special teams coach. He was the assistant special teams coach, I guess, under Joe Judge for 2 years, 18 and 19. And then when Joe Judge leaves, he becomes a special teams coordinator. Fresh out of the community college in Mississippi with no other coaching experience. He was a Southern Miss grad assistant for 2 years, which could mean anything, right? You're getting coffee for guys. Then he's at the community college for 7 years. He's Joe Judge's assistant for 2. And the next thing you know, he's a special teams coach. The guy probably makes $8.50 an hour, and he lives underneath the bridge in front of the stadium, okay, which is another reason why these guys are here in the first place. And I don't mean to dump all over the guy, but he's clearly not ready for the job, or just in such a slump, or the guys won't listen to him, or something. And Bill's just let this go on all season long? And again, it speaks to where do these coaches come from, what do they pay them, What does his staff look like? After Bill's done collecting the salary he collects, after they're done paying Josh what he makes, after Bill's done whatever, funneling the money, whatever money he's funneling to his kids, what's left for everybody else? It's probably why they still don't have a defensive coordinator, and it's why their special teams coach just got out of the community college in Mississippi and lives underneath the bridge in front of the stadium. Like, if that doesn't make you mad or speak to something sort of fundamental, you know, within the operation there, I don't know what does.
And not to mention, Mike, he's also one of these visor coaches, and I am firm in my belief that if you're a visor coach, you're an ass clown. Following
Good point.
You know, the long list of illustrious visor coaches like Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, Chip Kelly.
I mean, yesterday was the first time I'd ever actually seen him. I suspect it will be the last, because I can't imagine how that guy's going to survive.
Well, but, you know, what a shame that would be, and I'd feel bad for Cam Accord.
Yeah.
You know, you got thrown in there when you weren't ready, or you were thrown to the wolves when you should have received some help, and you're just there because, you probably don't make anything. And it's Bill, one of these, you know, this romanticized thing that Bill has, which I'm, you know, beginning to wonder, is it just a bunch of bullcrap? But this romanticized thing of when I broke into the league, Bill says, in 1975 with Ted Mastrobrota, I made $4.50 an hour, and my job was to empty the ashtray in the car. You know, like, so now you have to do the same thing. Is that just bullcrap because Bill can't afford to pay any of the coaches because he's taking all the money? You know, it's like that's just the way the money works there on the coaching staff. He's got to save somewhere. So the special teams is an easy place to do it. Special teams should be so simple. And when I look at teams that can't execute special teams, I say there's something fundamentally wrong there. I still say that about my Packers team, which should be a Super Bowl favorite, but they can't get out of their own way in the kicking game. I say, well, there's something lacking in attention to detail or institutional control, because on special teams, all you have to do is not get anything blocked, fair catch your punts, and just kick it off through the back of the end zone and get your punt off. You know, don't get anything blocked, fair catch the effing punt, and send your kickoffs through the back of the end zone. And find a field goal kicker who can make 80%, which is what the league average is. If you I don't need a single return. I don't need a single block. I don't need anything special. I don't need anything out of the ordinary. Just don't F up. And all the Patriots have done all season long is F up special teams, and Bills just let it happen? What's up with that? So, like, I get stuck on that. I do. I get stuck on that little thing. And, boy, the Dolphins sure wanted to hand you one on special teams with that asinine fake punt that they run. Talk about a big ball of suck that was. Okay, here's Miami's second possession, all right? You're already down 14-0. But, fine, you get a stop. Miami's second possession, Devin McCourty first drops an easy pick. Okay, Tua overthrows a guy in the middle of the field. McCourty drops an easy pick. Then Miami lines up, decides to fake punt, and the dummy punter, who's not going to get the first down, decides to give himself up and slide.
Right.
3 yards short of the first down.
Right.
What are you giving yourself up for? It's fourth down. You have to try at least or do something. Throw the ball away. So he goes into a slide 4 yards before the first down.
Well, he's an important guy. Doesn't want to get injured.
And then your guy, Devin McCourty, decides to go flying at him with the crown of his helmet. You idiot. He's giving himself up 3 yards in front of the first down. What are you doing? And then the dummy refs throw the flag. You idiot. He didn't even hit him. And then what made it worse is that no one gets in the guy's ear and says, listen, he missed him. Pick up the flag. Like, it's a sort of off-the-record booth review, which I know they do. They should do. You can tell it happens at various points in the game.
Oh, they definitely do it. They totally do.
Where was the guy in his ear saying, Frank, whatever the idiot's name is, pick up the flag. He didn't hit him. Like, talk about just a big ball of stupid. Miami goes for the fake punt. The dummy punter gives himself up 3 yards in front of the first down. Even though he gives himself up 3 yards in front of the first down, you still trying to make a flying head tackle. The dummy ref throws the flag, and the dummy in the booth doesn't tell him to pick it up. Like, what a big ball of this is. What a mess this is.
That was a special moment.
And then you line up over the long snapper. So, please. All right. Rant over. Back to your phones after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Max.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Max on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Bill, right before halftime on that fourth and one, was the play just to try to get draw the other team offside?
It's another poorly executed play.
Was there any thought to going for it there?
The whole thing was poorly executed.
So that's Bill being asked in the post game about that fourth and one, and he points to an execution issue. What do you think he's referring to there, Maz? What does that mean?
So the penalty was called on Jones, right? Because I think he bobbed his head when he was calling the snap count. I think he says Mac Jones effed it up. And now Bill's sort of assuming there though that they were going to jump if Mac Jones did it right. He skipped over the question. He didn't want to answer it. What he didn't want to tell you is that I don't have faith in our offense to pick up a yard at that stage, so I didn't do it. And, I'm trying to remember how much time there was, Mike, when that happened. So there was, about a minute to go, right? Yeah. So, Miami, maybe he was just fearful that he was going to give Miami more points and didn't want to do it. But at the end of the day, I think I took that as a jab at Jones.
That's what I thought. Yeah, Jones screwed it up.
Yeah, poorly executed. If the penalty's on Jones, who the hell else is he talking about? And then secondly, he clearly doesn't believe in his offense to pick up a yard there.
But he should, because it's not consistent, because there was a fourth and one in Buffalo. Now, granted, it was deeper into Buffalo territory, where they had him do the QB sneak, and the kid shows he can do it. So I hated the play call in the first place. They're trying to draw him off sides. I mean, you're watching this thing, you could tell that Miami was cemented in. They weren't going to jump. But yeah, no, that was a shot at Jones for him being all herky-jerky with it and them costing him 5 yards.
I was wondering if he was implying that he should have snapped it at some point in that. I don't know if Bill's trying to weasel out of that.
Maybe.
Gutless. Gutless coaching from Bill Belichick in that one. All right, back to your calls as promised. John in Dartmouth. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say hi. You guys are the best. And with this team this year being very un-Belichick-like, with all the mess-ups and screw-ups and everything that they've done, it seems like a lot of the same guys are doing it. These guys are supposed to be professional football players. So are there any repercussions if you just keep going out there screwing up?
Okay. Yes. I think. I don't know. It's an accountable team historically. Do you think Bill's not holding people accountable in their mess?
No. I mean, look, I think they have some limitations in terms of, what are we talking about in particular? Lawrence Guy is going to play. But if we're talking about accountability, Ramondre Stevenson fumbled early in the year and got buried for a little while. And, and is he a better player now because of it? Probably. Yeah, probably. I think he's learned, so I don't know that it's that. I my bigger issue is with the fact that things from the coaching staff aren't getting addressed. I can't imagine how the special teams coach survives, Mike. And I know you've said they don't typically make these kinds of moves in season, which I will accept. But to me, if there's no change there after the year, then what the hell are we doing?
Matt and Braintree, you're up next. Hi.
It comes down to this. The 7-game win streak was a joke. You and Ted Johnson were sitting there a couple weeks ago saying Belichick has revitalized the brilliance and the mojo, and he showed everybody. They can't beat a normal, healthy team. And at the end of the day, it will be Brady 2, Belichick 0, when Brady goes further than Belichick for the second year. Thank you.
Okay. I like Brady's chances as it stands today. And you're absolutely right to call today on Monday, January 10th, and say the winning streak was an illusion and they're a fraud team if you think they were a serious contender. And those of us who put Bill back on the map, we've been proven wrong. At this point, it's not over, caller. The Patriots go on the road and beat Buffalo, and they're in the divisional round, and they put something together here. Then it's back where we were during the 7-game winning streak. But I would agree with you. Today, we have a daily talk show to do, and on today's talk show, I think they're hot garbage, and you're right.
I mean, since we're on the topic, I looked this up today. Since he left New England, Tom Brady is 28-9 with 93 touchdown passes and over 11,000 yards passing in 2 years. That counts playoffs.
Brendan in South Boston. Go ahead, Brendan.
I know everyone's down on them today. I'm a little down on them. But if you just look at the league, if you take last week, that buffoon in Cincinnati on fourth down, not kicking a field goal to go ahead by three with 30 seconds left. Or I don't know. I don't even have a word for the guy in San Diego last night going on for, on his own 18-yard line. Like, I really don't have a word. The Pats still have a chance because of coaching. They're not the best team, but they always got a shot. Thank you.
Okay, so that's where I started off with. Do the Patriots have a punter's chance Saturday in Buffalo? Yep. Do they have a chance to string together a couple wins here? Sure, they do. But I'm not basing that on their abilities. I'm basing it on what the caller just said. Everybody else is stupid.
Correct.
But if you're stupid too, then what's the point? I mean, if you're stupid too, if you're going to line up over the center in the kicking game, if you're that kind of team, then you've relinquished this thing about, well, we'll just play a straight game and let the other team screw it up. You can't. I don't feel that way anymore. How many clean games have they played here in the last month? One against a horrible Jacksonville team.
Yeah, you got to take that with a grain of salt. They've been their own worst enemy over this last month. But I am mostly with the caller. You look at the rest of the AFC, I don't think that there is a prohibitive favorite.
Larry in the car. He's up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Larry.
I agree with that. All the teams have 7-6 wins, all bunched together. The mental mistake-free game can win it for anybody. Anybody can win it.
Okay, Larry. Maz, when was the last time the Patriots played a simple mistake-free football game?
Ooh, I mean, again, Jacksonville.
Against a real team.
Yeah. Against a real team? Cleveland? Yeah, Cleveland. I mean, you got to go back into the middle of the year. You know, was Tennessee after that? Maybe Tennessee? Like, but even then, I wouldn't call that mistake free. You gave up a big touchdown run at the end of the half. So I don't know that I can count that one either.
Listen, and for you to play and win with a simple mistake-free game, the other team has to be complicit.
Correct.
Okay, Buffalo came in here a couple weeks ago and executed, and their playmakers made plays, and their best guys were their best guys. In which case, you playing a simple mistake-free game, which you did not anyway, but even if you had played a simple mistake-free game in that one, you would have still gotten your doors blown off. So two things has to happen. You've got to play simple, mistake-free football, which you haven't really done here down the stretch, and the other team has to throw up on itself. I still give good chances of the other team throwing up on itself.
For sure.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's that first thing I'm stuck on now. We continue with your thoughts and a big, big news day across the NFL. The news is flying fast and furious. Here's the very latest with Big Jim Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.